coming at you live from the Ish Bar. It's May 11th, 2013, and we've got a bunch of really tired guys here who've been at the movies all night watching Renato.
Try again.
Try. Oh, wait, no, wrong movie.
Marcus Plus?
Yes.
No.
And we're here for, of course, another episode Breaking of Macross Banner. Speaker Podcast. Breaking news, Macross Plus is at the cinema. It's brand new. It's now showing. All the kids are into it for this week only or something like that.
Yeah. But No, it's not just this week.
It's next week also.
Okay. Is it only in Tokyo or is it?
No.
It's going around over to Hakata as well.
It's playing simultaneously.
Well, it's technically a Macross movie festival is how they're pitching it.
So is it like Tokyo first and somewhere else?
No, it's in all of them at the same time. The dates are on the back of the clear file.
Oh, okay. Somebody hand me the clear file.
The one that's right there?
Okay. So, while we're getting that, as always, this is your host, Gwyn Campbell, also known as Torture on the Boards, and next to me is...
Richard Gubaba.
And?
To the other left of you, Adrian Save.
And then, somewhere on the other side of the room, singing Macross Plus.
Renato.
Also known as...
Renato.
I'm doing it every time.
I know.
Get used to it. All right. And yes, we've just gotten back. Well, three of us have just gotten back from seeing Macross Plus on the big screen, the remastered Blu-ray.
I had a great sleep last night. I went to bed, curled up nice and cozy. I woke up feeling wonderful and refreshed.
But that's not to say you didn't see it. That's not to say you didn't see it. You've been to see it as well, right?
That was last week, yeah.
Because you sat through it like a trooper.
Yeah, I watched all three movies.
All four?
No, three.
Three.
I thought it was...
Depending on which night you go, they either show False Diva or Wings of Farewell.
So we had False Diva.
I had Wings of Farewell.
Okay.
They always show three movies, right?
Yeah.
The first one is Macross Plus Movie Edition.
Yes.
The second one is Do You Remember Love?
Yes.
And the third one is either one of the Macross Frontier movies.
Yes.
That's basically the thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is no... four movie, because that would just be suicide.
Yeah.
I think so.
The theater is really uncomfortable to sit in.
Let's put that on hold for a sec, gentlemen, and get into a little bit of Macross news first. If that's cool with everyone?
Mm. Yeah. What's newer than Macross Plus?
Well, it's pretty new. It's only hasn't been at the cinema for 18 years. But we'll get to that. So Richard, I mean, you're a publications guy as a general rule, but there's been a ton of new Macross publications have been coming out over the past month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important one, I think, probably to people outside of Japan is Macross the First Volume 5.
Yeah, which...
you sound so enthusiastic.
Well, I am and I'm not. Again, and I've said this on the boards and some people... agree and some people seem to disagree, and I'm kind of wondering what all you guys think. I'm worried that Macross the First is really kind of going off the rails like every other Mikimoto manga. Volume 5 has Minmay's birthday in it.
Okay.
And then you have the next chapter is a meeting with Boldolza talking to Laplamez, and Milia shows up at the end. But it's just Bulldogs on Laplamez talking.
No porn in this.
No, there's porn there. Yeah, this is the one.
This is one of the porn?
Yeah.
Everyone rush out and get it.
Yes. Then you get Global's Report.
Global's Report?
Report?
What? Oh. Global's Report, which is exactly like what you expect it to be. It's the clip show manga version. Then it goes into Tales of South Atadia Island, which is a flashback.
Now, let's talk about that for a moment, because I know that getting the monthly releases in New Taipei, because I haven't got Volume 5 yet, because I've been getting it every month in New Taipei, when they have content, because Mikimoto just seems to be taking a lot of holidays and slacking off with this.
Well, he's also doing a call to CL at the same time.
Is that actually been coming out? Because I know who's told to do it, to get back to it, but I haven't seen a new chapter. Is that...
I stopped getting Gundam Ace after Gundam the Origin ended, so I'm not sure myself.
Well, you know, because the new Tales of, was it South Italia?
Yeah.
Ireland. That came, that side story started, as you said, right after the equivalent of a clip episode. Because it's bad enough that we can't count on new content every month now. But then 1 month you get a clip episode after waiting, and then you wait some more, and then it's, they're completely backtracking and...
Yeah, but not to mention, even before the clip episode, what we actually had were episodes of meetings. First, we had a meeting with the
science officer.
The science person who said, hey, maybe we can put Destroid parts on Valkyries.
That was the girl with the leggings, right?
Yeah.
The fishnet stockings. Yeah, but that was a... I liked the fact they tried to justify...
The fishnet stockings, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the Valkyries. And why they had the fast packs in deep space and the limitations of the Valkyries.
But it's not putting the story forward.
I know, but it was a nice detail.
And then after that, we had a meeting on Britai's ship. Again, with the porn. So they had to justify the porn, right?
Miria's looking pretty badass, though.
Yes.
Do you want...
But like, what I'm saying is it's meetings.
Okay.
And the main characters are supposed to be Minmay and Hikaru and Misa. And we haven't seen them in a really long time.
No, we haven't. It's been like 6 months or something, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, because the latest issue of New Taipei's didn't have any Macross the First, and the last issue
didn't either.
And there's been, before that, it was 3 issues of Tales of South Italia Island, which is still not finished.
And that, you know, the first chapter of it, I was like, oh, come on, give me a break. But then they started, like, from the second one, they went straight into tying it into Macross Zero.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I kind of thought was very interesting.
Yeah, I think so too, actually.
That element of it I thought was good. And if they can make it smoothly fit with the transition and then get us back on track afterwards, I don't think I mind it as a diversion. I mean, when you see the 51s and whatnot, it's like, whoa.
You know what? I don't mind that it is a diversion from the story in terms of the content that it's actually using to tell.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that what I mind about it is that they started off telling a different story and now they're shifting gears. If they had just made a manga about Tales of South Italia, I would be perfectly fine for it with that.
Well,
just don't call it Macross the First.
I think it's trying to be kind of like Gundam the Origin, where after a couple years and they'd just been retelling the Gundam story.
Yeah.
They went into a flashback, which lasted, I think, for about 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, it was 6 volumes out of the whole thing.
Wow.
And so I'm getting the feeling that Mikimoto's kind of doing the same thing, but the difference is the backstory of Gundam is kind of important in Gundam, because the story starts towards the very end of the war.
Right,
so they
go
back and tell the history of like Char and Sela and everything like that. Whereas I think the backstory of Macross is really not that important. Everyone wants to know what the protoculture is and like that history.
And the Supervision Army.
Right.
Etc.
No, we're not getting any of that.
No. So. And you never will.
Yeah, true. I can appreciate, though, that he's trying to expand on these little bits and pieces that wouldn't normally be included. You know, like Kakizaki sitting on Fokker's lap for 3 days.
And flying armored Valkyries. That was kind of cool.
It was.
So, there's a lot of cool stuff in Macross the First, but I'm just worried because every other Mikimoto manga has ended up going nowhere.
You mean unlike the groundbreaking work that was Macross 7 Trash?
That was trash.
That was trash, yes.
Marionette Generation.
Marionette Generation went nowhere. But that started nowhere either.
That's true.
And Ecole de Ciel has been going on way too long.
It's been 10 years or something, right?
Yeah, because that started in issue 3 of Gundam Ace, so that would have been 2001, maybe.
Wow.
So when are they going to animate that?
Yeah. When are we going to get an animated Ecole du Ciel? It's just, I'm really kind of worried that it's just going to go off into endlessly continuing and just kind of going nowhere. I mean, when you look at it, the first volume covered the first three episodes.
Right.
Very tightly. The second volume covered the next three. Then the Bye Bye Mars section.
Which was an interesting...
Yeah, chapter. But it went through volume three and volume four.
Right.
Volume five only has Minmay's birthday with a teaser for the Miss Macross contest. So we're five volumes in now and the Miss Macross contest hasn't even happened yet.
Right.
And it...
Oh, yeah, you're right. I hadn't even noticed that, actually.
I suppose I'm kind of the opposite end of the spectrum to you, Richard. I'm worried that it's not that it won't go anywhere, it would all keep going aimlessly, it's that it would just stop.
Mm.
Because we're not getting enough content as it is. How many years this will go for, or whether or not we... Because you remember when I asked him, he didn't know if they'd get up to episode 27, let alone 36.
Right.
At this rate, I can't see them getting up to 27.
I definitely don't think they're going to get up to 36, because I think that Tales of South Ataria Island is putting in stuff from those episodes.
Right.
Because in the Tales of South Ataria Island, you've got the Anti-Unification Alliance attacking in their SV-51s on Christmas.
Right.
You've got the Bridge Bunnies all out for dinner together, and then they have to rush in to the bridge of the SDF-1, which is very similar to the scene in episode 36.
Because Global is waiting for them there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And also, the way this section of the story was introduced, like, it wasn't introduced, it just happened.
Yeah.
It's not like, here's a flashback, or here's an event that means that some character's thinking back. It just got thrown in the middle.
Right.
And it's like, why? I almost kind of wish they'd reprint the Tankobon so we can move this to the beginning. Because there's no clear connection to the story. But anyways.
And also, it's worth pointing out that this is an attack that supposedly, I mean, if you look at like, I mean, trying to like fit Macross the First in with the timelines is probably not a good idea, but this attack never happened. You know, there were attacks. If you look at the timelines, there were attacks on the Macross by the Anti-Unification Alliance, but not on Christmas Eve of 2008.
Hmm. Well, if they can get to work, if they can get flying protoculture rocks to work, Birdman rocks, then who knows?
Look, the bird human was moving those rocks using super science. It was not Sara's song that moved the rocks. It is not mystical.
Super science.
Super science.
That's what they use in Thor and stuff, right?
I haven't been reading any of the Macross the First novels or following it. Just whatever Gwen shows me in passing, like, hey, they're doing this.
Or, oh, hey, this porn.
There's porn. Check out this porn. Or, so it's tying in with Zero. I'm like, okay. I haven't read it. I haven't looked at it at all.
But it's right here. I brought it.
Oh, yeah. It's a stack. But what if, because I think at some of the previous talk shows, the Mikimoto exhibits, you've asked him stuff about the First. And I think I remember you saying like he didn't like the way it ended, or like how things unfolded.
He didn't like how
in the original series.
Yeah, that what was it that
the
it
relationship. Was, he didn't like the way that he felt it. He felt that Hikaru didn't make a decision. That it was just more that Minmay drifted apart, and if he was going to be with someone, Misa was there with him because they worked together.
Well, it's kind of strange in the original series, because I mean Kaifun was definitely introduced to be kind of a foil for Hikaru, like to kind of pull Minmay away, but you really didn't need him to do that. Her career was already doing that.
Because maybe Mikimoto, there's elements of the story he wants to keep, so maybe he's just doing the Christmas Eve episode early because he wants to keep that part into the story, but maybe the story won't continue to that. Kind of that past time after the SDF-1 gets back to Earth.
Right.
So he's throwing it in as a past event.
Yeah, because, I mean, and also Kaifun's already on board in Macross the First.
Right.
So, you know, I'm kind of thinking, since it is kind of a weird fusion of, for the most part, of the TV series with Do You Remember Love, I'm thinking that by the time they get back to Earth, it might be wiped out.
Fair enough. Well, apart from Macross the First, and I can't wait till we actually do get some new content, because it's been months now. In conconjunction with Macross 30, of course, we've had the novel.
Yeah, which I picked up but haven't read yet.
It's awfully thick.
It's awfully thick, but the print's big. And there are far too few illustrations in it. But the illustrations they have are nice.
They're all Marufuji.
Yeah. Who you met and who drew...
He draws everyone now. So.
Who drew Minmay for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't draw Ishtar.
If you asked him to draw Ishtar, he would draw Ishtar. You know, but he said to me he's never, drawn her before. But, so also we got the complete guide for the game for Macross 30.
Which Gwyn is, for some reason, holding up in front of the microphone now.
So the microphone can hold it, can see it, hold it. And there's something on the cover that reminded me, they actually put an English title for the game in the game. And that is Voices Across the Galaxy, not, what was it, the song that connects the galaxy or the voice that whatever I think it was the song that
the
connects
singing
the
voice
that connects the galaxy is what
that's because it's a literal translation
but that kind of stuck and no one seems to have picked up on the fact that no there's actually an official whether it be good English or not English title people are still going by the old title but anyway Voices Across the Galaxy is what they call it and while it doesn't quite have the same nuance as the Japanese it's a short title I like it kind of works for what it's worth. Now, the complete guide, I've got to say, for those who've bought brand new books in Japan will know, new books are shrink-wrapped. And I didn't know what to expect. The guide was a little thinner than I was expecting, but I picked it up. And
if you ask, though, they'll usually unwrap it for you, though, right?
Well, it was Macross. I was probably going to buy it, honestly, regardless. But, there's a few pages of character artwork in there. And they've got, the CG models... One model of each of the Valks, but honestly, it's really a guide for the game system, the stats, the leveling up, the game mechanics. It's a very technical guide. Like every single Valk has all their maximum points or their abilities. It's not completely useless. Like I don't mind it, but I was expecting and hoping more for interviews with the creators, conceptual artwork, more behind-the-scenes stuff than straight mechanical facts. So I honestly wouldn't recommend the book unless it drops in price or gets secondhand. I mean, they even devote like 1, 2, 3.5 pages to the loading screens. And they're not even printed out nicely. They're printed out like thumbnail size. And these are all viewable in-game in the game viewer. You can go and look, because some of them do, are new pieces of artwork, which are nice. The one of Misa in particular is quite nice, I thought.
Ironically, I might actually pick this book up because I don't have the game. Mm-hmm. And so the mecha art is pretty cool. I actually like the paint schemes and stuff that they give them. And things.
How much was the book?
It's like, where are we? 2,100 yen?
That's not bad.
It's not
as good as the Wings of Farewell book.
Right. Which was more interesting.
1,500.
And much a lot bigger. More interesting and bigger. But
that went up to 9,000 at one point.
It did.
Right.
When it ran out. But anyway, so that came out. Of course, we also had Macross F Fortissimo.
Fortissimo.
Now, Richard, you're kind of the knowledgeable when it comes to this. This is the final. It's all in one tankobon, right?
Yeah, it's the whole thing. Yeah, I'm the guy who's constantly tearing his hair out over Macross Frontier manga, and I can say the same thing about this that I said about Cheryl Kissing the Galaxy. The art is absolutely wonderful. The art is really, really nice. It's gorgeous. It's great. The story sucks. It's supposed to be set between the two movies, but by the end I was really kind of confused because, like, there's Alto and a YF-29. Mm-hmm. There's, like, Open Ranka. There's Cheryl arguing with her black bunny self,
which was a cool scene. I thought it was interesting to think that this onstage persona she had is part of her psyche, and she's kind of the, I don't know what you call it, the Madonna slash whore kind of complex.
There's also a scene of Alto in his flight suit hugging a wet naked Cheryl, so that might sell a few copies right there.
That's it. He says this sucks. You got Open Ranka, Black Bunny Cheryl, Naked Cheryl.
Wet Naked Cheryl.
Wet Naked Cheryl. There you go.
Okay. It sells itself. Yeah, you're right.
And you want to buy a stat book on stupid.
No, I bought Macross Fortissimo. I haven't bought the bought the stat book yet.
Yeah, but you're like, it really sucks. I'm like, geez, you want to spend like $2,000?
I said the art was incredible, but if you try to read it, no.
All right.
Well, at least it's all in one tankobon.
Mm.
I mean, for what it's worth, especially if you're a Frontier fan. And at least it is new Frontier stuff. So many of those tankobons they've brought out are like, no. Well, so much of them are like, you know, gag manga. And just short, silly, like just silly manga. At least this
is. No, they had a lot of.
They are trying Cheryl to expand on stuff.
Yeah, there were 4 volumes of Cheryl Kissing the Galaxy. There were 5 volumes of the TV adaptations. Vision. Well, Secret Visions just ended up being 1 volume. They never.
And Kissing the Galaxy's. That did resume. That's still going. It has
been. No. It ran for 3 books. And then ended. And then they came back.
Coming back in some girls' shoujo manga.
Yeah, and they did 1 more book.
Oh, so there is 1 more book.
There's a 4th volume that came out much later. Like,
I didn't realize they got to the point where they'd done a 4th volume.
Yeah. And the 4th volume is strange because it's like, well, there's 1 story about Chibi Cheryl. And like little girl Cheryl, and then there's another story that kind of doesn't really seem to fit in anywhere. But again, the art for Cheryl Kissing the Galaxy is really, really nice.
It is. Do you know who the artist is in that?
I don't remember her name.
Because yeah, I remember the art being great.
Yeah.
Okay. So Renato, can you throw me that book over there? Yep, thank you. So the other thing that came out,
I haven't picked this one up yet either,
was the Macross Famous Quotes book. So yes, we've now reached the status of Gundam, because I know there's a famous quotes book for Gundam, which someone in my office gave me a while back.
I remember the famous Star Wars quotes book coming out, like when the special editions did.
Well, this book of famous Macross quotes, because there's so many of them.
All your favorite catchphrases, such as, oh, and
fire! Page 1, fire. Page 2, bomber. So this book only.
Proto-Kancha!
Is Proto-Kancha
in there?
Well, the book only covers the original Macross, it covers 7, and it covers Frontier.
Yeah, because
so
it's just
only
the TV
shows. Yeah.
So,
but, I was looking through it, and it has a section, you know, apart from the catchphrases and stuff, it has a section on songs.
Yeah.
And the featured song for SDF Macross is Do You Remember Love, for some reason, since it's not in the show, and Silver Moon, Red Moon. And that's it! What?
Well, the book is, as we said, 3 series, and there's way more quotes for Frontier than anything else.
Yeah.
The least amount of quotes are for 7.
Which is the longest series.
Which is kind of weird. Now, the way each page is set up is that it has a black stripe on the right-hand side of the page, which has the quote, and then it has an explanation of the scene that the quote's in, along with a picture.
That's,
some of these quotes.
That's some great art of Kaifun and Minmay.
Star Pro, thank you very much.
Look at Minmay there.
Right.
Well, that's the episode where Minmay's eyeballs disappear and you just have black gaping holes.
Right, yeah.
I need to make a screen cap of that.
no, please don't.
And the thing is, some of these quotes
demons will arise
are like ridiculously long. It's like, how, when you get into 3 to 4 lines, I don't think it's a memorable quote that people just rattle off.
Yeah, and it just goes on.
Yeah, some just seem like less memorable quotes and more, here are scenes that were popular and what was said in the scenes that were popular. Yeah. And it's got some, yeah, reprinted art in the front. And
you said, できたらとか自分なんかとか言ってるうちに絶対に無理だ。Yeah, remember that scene?
Not really.
No.
There we go.
This. Okay, this I understand. 私の音を聞け。
Yeah. So there's some quotes in there that work, but not overall. But still, I'm having fun just kind of gradually looking through it, and I'm going to take it to work and leave it on my desk and try and make people study.
I am glad that it has my favorite Macross 7 quote in it.
Which, yeah.
Right here. Yame yo, ginga yo, ore no oto kike.
You left out a few airs.
But
yeah, I think it's interesting that someone feels that Macross has gotten to the point where there are famous quotes and enough famous quotes to publish a book.
Someone feels.
Someone.
Nothing about pineapple salad, though. Oddly enough.
But it does seem to be more scenes than actual quotes.
Yeah.
You know. But the fact that it exists is kind of scenes. Cool.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
More non-derio.
Roy's last line.
Big double page spread of Roy back on the couch with the guitar. But yeah. So while everyone who's listening to this can obviously see us looking through this book. There's nothing new here, unless you can read Japanese and are interested in memorizing the quotes. There's no new art or anything. It's all reprints. But for those who want to memorize, you know, some classic lines, or maybe introduce Macross to people who don't know Macross, it can be kind of fun. 全館発信。本館は現在異星人と交戦中である。これは演習ではない。繰り返す。All right, so I'm sitting here in a coffee shop with Nobby. Hi, Nobby.
Hi.
And Nobby, I've heard a rumor you're a Macross fan.
Yes, I've always been a Macross fan since I think I was in middle school.
Middle school?
Yeah.
All right, well, can I get a little bit of background here? Because clarify this for me. You're Japanese, but you don't live in Japan. How did that work?
Well, I was born in the United States, but my parents are Japanese.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, obviously I'll have opportunities as a kid, and, you know, back when I was in middle school, you know, to come and visit my grandparents, you know, over in Japan, you know, during summer break and everything. And it just so happened, one of my summer breaks happened to be, I think back in 1983 or something. But anyway, it was during a time when Macross was actually being...
it was on TV. Swing.
Yeah, it was you know, on a weekly basis they had it. So and I was there for 3 months. So I actually sat through and watched the majority of the season. You know,
kind of impact did that have? And what was your first impression?
My first impression was, as an American, was, you know, I mean, there wasn't anything like it. You know, there was, you know, obviously you had, you know, the big giant robots, like, you know, in America it's the Transor Z, the Mazinger, and all that kind of stuff. But there was nothing anything like this where it kind of melded a lot of realism, you know, because I mean, these are almost like based off of, you know, real fighter jets, you know, the F-14s and stuff like that. You know, and as a kid that was amazing, and to be able to see the engineering of that to work, it was, you know, really, you know, amazing in that respect. And but the interesting thing was I didn't really follow on the stories and the characters. I was wowed more
by
the mecha, basically, until I got older and started understanding the soap opera aspect of it. Then it grew on me in another way. I was like, oh, this is actually a really good story.
Okay. You know, so would you say then initially it was the mecha that got you, but did you get the feeling that this is something special, or was it just... There must have been so much on TV when you visited. Like, so much, it could have been overwhelming. Did Macross stand out, or was it just, you know, one of many?
No, it actually did stand out.
Really?
It stand out. It was just generally, I mean, sorry to keep it really simple, but it was just the design. I haven't seen anything really like that. And, you know, it didn't seem derivative of a lot of other things. It was derivative of, you know, the 70s Gundam series, or, you know, any of the other, like Getta Robo and all that. You know, it wasn't derivative of that, so it really stood out on its own.
So you saw this as a kid, and then you went back to the US?
Yeah.
And
what happened? Did you watch anything over there? Or?
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. I did. I loved it. But things weren't as accessible as they are now. Like anime, you could go to Best Buy or even Target and you could get some anime. Back in the day, you know, we had our Beta and VHS tapes and whatnot. We had like, what, fourth or fifth generation dubs, you know, that we could barely recognize who's who. But I mean, that's the extent of what we could do. So getting like any kind of quality anime on a consistent basis was extremely rare and difficult. So, you know, you start to create like this little circle of connections, little underground connections of how you get anime. So, I mean, I got it, but I didn't get it on a really regular basis.
Right.
You know, and it didn't really explode until in the U.S. that, you know, Harmony Gold did the Robotech series. Mm-hmm. And then that really, you know, and I've seen it, so.
So did you watch that when you were a kid?
I did, but I only watched the Macross section. After that ended, that was like, okay, that's it for me. It's just,
So you didn't try the other...
I gave it a couple other ones just shot, but I knew the backstory of it because these three stories are totally unrelated, so it just kind of ruined the image for me. The saying that these are three. So.
Okay, well that's an interesting approach to it because you know most I think fans of overseas were the opposite. You know, they saw Robotech first and then found out later that it was separate. But you knew first, so you were a smart kid. So
I think it was just at the right place at the right time. I don't know if it was a smart or not, because there was a lot of ongoing arguments as a middle school kid saying, no, these are three different stories. But, you know, since they didn't know the background information, they're like, no, it's one whole amazing, you know, it's an epic trilogy. It says, no, it's not. But, you know, it's just, it was a lot of back and forth during lunchtime saying, no, I the truth is out there.
Okay. So then after your initial exposure and you came back, I mean, did you keep up with new Macross productions as they came out?
I did the best I could.
Okay. So you've been a fan pretty much from the beginning then?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you saw Macross 2 when it came out?
Yes, I did. I had to go, what was it? I had a friend lend it to me. I think it was back in the days when they had Laserdiscs. Mm-hmm. So it was Laserdisc period, I think. It was Macross 2. It was doing all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I got a chance to check it out.
I shouldn't ask, but what was your impression, if you have any, of the first time you saw Macross 2?
I don't remember like the breakdown. I think it was episodic content, right? For Macross 2. So I only got to watch maybe about 3 to 4 episodes worth before.
That's most of
it. Okay. It is, all right.
Yeah.
I wasn't all that particularly impressed by it. The mecha wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. The mecha wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. A couple of the design choices I had issues with, like the helmets, they covered most of the face, which is always a bad idea for me. And if I recall from the series, everyone, you can only see their eyes at the section. So it was just like a couple of those little touches I wasn't too happy about. Art, not bad, but just the story, again, it was like they were trying to rehash the original. And again, sorry to keep using the same word, it felt derivative. And then just like, it didn't feel original enough.
Well, so what would you say was the next Macross production that caught your attention as a fan?
I'd say it was a long time later. Macross Plus is what I took in. I've been following it all this time, but Macross 7 didn't. I'm sorry, didn't do it for me.
Not even the music?
No, it didn't do it.
Okay.
I think it was too music centric. It was the impression. I don't know if that's true or not. Mm-hmm. I've only watched maybe about 2 to 3 episodes in, and I just realized it wasn't my thing. But I did follow the mecha and you know the characters and stuff you'll see in you know the magazine, so I got an idea of you know the breakdown of the characters. Mm-hmm. So. But it was just an issue for me, and just the whole central story was about music and putting speakers on
robots, shooting speaker poles.
Yes, it was a little bit difficult for me to swallow. So I mean, anyone who likes it, that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not knocking on the music. The music, you know, it's not bad. I got friends who love it. They sing it at karaoke. It's like that's your deal. And you know, I'm not gonna knock
so
it.
You just leave the room when they start singing.
No, it's okay. I'm just don't expect me to sing along.
Okay. But so you liked Plus.
Yeah, Plus felt like it kind of shifted the focus away from just the centralized music theme, you know, making peace through music and everything, and just focus more on the human drama, you know, and also at the same time, introduction of mecha and all that. And it just got, they focused a lot on the realism with the background story arc with music, which was a really nice, much nicer balance.
Then. So were you a Wife 21 fan or a Wife 19 fan?
19.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Clearly 19, nice. Yes.
And so then let me think, Zero? Did you watch Zero when that came out? Or?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't get to watch all of it. It's just the fact that I couldn't get a hold of any additional episodes.
Okay.
But for me, it wasn't bad. I liked it. I always like it when they do origins of series. I really like to see, you know, to see how they moved it, you know, got it to, you know, where it was back in the 80s, you know, with the first, you know, the F1s and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was a nice thing for fans, I think.
Right.
For people who weren't familiar with Macross, it may not leave as much of an impact, because I think they make a lot of references to people who know the series, right?
And then speaking of references to people, for people who know the series, Frontier, of course, had a lot of those. Now, as someone who's been a fan from the beginning, what did you think of Frontier?
It was better than Seven. Better than Seven for me. I can applaud them for trying to just keep things fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trying to keep with the times, and you know they got they're focused on a lot of idols and all that. I think I sense that they put a lot of emphasis on those kind of themes as well. So again, that's not my area, but I think it was a better balance than it's a hard thing for me to describe. Just, I haven't watched enough of it, honestly. Mm-hmm. I watched probably about 3 to 4 episodes, and then they have ones where they mash them all together and create one big movie of it. So I watched about half of that.
Mm-hmm.
The action's great. The quality, it's a beautiful series.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing it did is the characters didn't really resonate with me.
Right.
And my assumption is because I'm getting old. I'm getting old. The main characters, I think, you know, he's kind of very effeminate, the ponytailed, gentleman. He seems like a nice guy, but it's just not something like, he's the guy I want to root for, stuff.
So you're sick of all these darn kids. You want some adults in the Macross.
Yeah, it's like the Gundam complex, It's like you have all these awesome test pilots that are like 20s and 30s, which usually get killed off, and then you got this dude coming out of, just out of middle school, going into high school, and then he becomes the pilot for it. So it's got this, which I guess it's great for the target demographic.
Right.
You got the young kids, they want to be able to imagine, oh yeah, I'm this. And I can imagine if I was a lot younger, I'd probably feel the same way.
Well, I mean, you've seen some of everything, even if you haven't seen all of everything. So I have to ask, favorite series?
Favorite series is the original one.
So are we talking TV or do you remember Love?
Oh gosh, when I was younger it was the movie series, but I just felt like it was too, everyone liked the movie series, but I'm more inclined to say I like a lot of the TV versions.
Okay.
So, with
is there
a lot
a reason
of, like,
for that?
I think it's because it's just nostalgia.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up with it, just a certain amount. Because everyone recognizes the movie version, the colorings, the pilot suits and everything. But so, like, if I have a choice, like, Yamato's got their, got the TV versions and the movie versions and stuff. You'll find me, all my stuff is all the TV versions if I can do it.
So who's the best Valkyrie pilot?
Who's the best? Long pause.
Yeah.
I never really thought of this.
Well, let me rephrase it. Who's your favorite Valkyrie pilot?
My favorite would be Fokker, obviously. Roy. He's just... unfortunately he dies. Sorry for the spoiler. It's like, Darth Vader's Luke's father. I mean, everyone knows, I'm assuming. But if you don't know, I'm sorry. I apologize to the audience, but... But yeah, I guess he's one. He's always been my favorite character, and just the interesting thing is, I've thought of that. Like, who's the best pilot? But the series never really emphasizes who's a better pilot.
Right.
You find, they have all these cut sequences of them blowing up all these enemies, but it's just, there's no real clear answer unless you have a clear answer.
Well, no, I think. They tend to focus on main characters who aren't necessarily the best pilots in the story. They're more the everyday Joe. I mean, in the original, it's Max would probably be a better pilot than Roy, but everyone prefers Roy.
Right.
Or Slegger, as we like to call him. And it gets more and more difficult to tell, because as the technology gets better in each series, like, is it the pilot or is it the technology? Was Gold really a good pilot? He wasn't using his hands.
Right.
So how do we really know?
So there's things like that. But all right, well, look, favorite Valkyrie? This is the big question.
Obviously the F1 series.
Okay.
But are you talking about like the A, S,
J, D? As detailed as possible.
It'd be the A.
The A?
Yes.
Why?
I've always been, I've always liked the cannon fodder ships. So, A, you know, it just, everyone loves the ace pilots, they love the S, they love the J's, you know, all those things. And I just like to go break from the norm a little bit and stand out. So, you know, as a kid, I just like the toy. My toy looks different than the rest of your guys's, you know, because everyone gets the, you know,
the S or the J.
Roy or the, you know, Roy Fokker one.
Gotcha, gotcha, okay.
So it's surprising. It does surprise a lot of people.
Any particular color in there, if you want to get detailed?
The color? Brown.
Brown.
Brown. It's probably the least liked
version. It's the easiest one to buy at a toy shop, that's for sure.
Which is great for me. I mean, it's, right. You can get it on sale whatnot. But yeah, it just...
All right. Well, you've said that you're not as big of a fan of some of the music, but did you have a favorite Macross singer? If you had to choose.
If I had to choose, yeah. It would be Minmay.
Minmay?
Yes.
Hands down?
Hands down.
What was what did you think when she got slapped?
Which scene was that one?
That was in Do You Remember Love. He got a bitch slapped her.
Oh, what did I think?
Yeah.
She needed it.
Okay.
Alright.
So even your favorite singer needs that sometimes.
There are you know, it just it adds the human element, I think. It's really nice.
So look, finally, as a Macross fan who. Well, how often do you get to come to Japan these days? Like
these days?
Every year?
Maybe like once a year
is
what I'm looking at.
And do you tend to go shopping when you're here?
I try when it's possible.
Okay.
But, you know, it's just work seems to get in the way of my enjoyment of life.
Yeah. That's always the way. Yeah. So as a fan who lives outside of Japan, what do you think is the biggest challenge, the biggest obstacle for you being a fan?
That's a really good question, because I think it changed a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, as I said, when I was growing up and younger, you know, it was before the internet, and, you know, you could purchase things online, you could stream stuff on, you know, online. It was extremely difficult. You know, basically you needed to know someone who, you know, went to the country, who has a connection.
Right.
Or you just, you know, go underground again and, you know, just get bootleg copies or whatnot. But nowadays, you know, I'm not saying there's no more bootlegging, but it's just, I think it's just gotten a whole lot easier. There's very little obstacles, I think, as long as you do have that cash.
Basically. Yeah.
You know, it's just, nothing's really out of your reach if you're willing to pay for it now. Everything's online, you know, your eBays and, you know, all these online shops.
Right.
You know, and just Amazon in general.
Gotcha.
So I think kids these days, you know,
have it
really easy. And it's good for them. I'm happy for them that they have that.
All right, then. Well, look, thank you for your time, and good luck with the shopping.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
That's it for publications. Let's get on to some toy news, guys. Come on.
Toy news? Oh, VF4 came out, I heard. And there's one over there. So.
There's one in the refrigerator, I think.
So toy news. So there seems to have been finally some kind of clarification about the Arcadia situation, Adrian. I wouldn't say no announcements, but some clarification by default.
Okay, well, this time next week...
I hope you're right, by the way.
Oh, gosh. All right. This time next week will be the Shizuoka Hobby Show. So there should be lots of news coming out from Hasegawa and Arcadia. So, I mean, just wait until then. Check back with us then. So.
What? No.
I'm just kidding.
Can I get someone to translate what you're saying to just make sure, just for myself,
that
it is correct?
All right, so what's been going on in threads? People are, what, panic buying, they say? So
yes.
Everyone's buying, like, all these Kakizaki Valks. And to clarify, if you go to Yodobashi Camera in anywhere in Tokyo, everything's sold out. But the last
No. It's not. I went to Yabashi Camera in Kichijoji the other day. They have a Gamelin.
They have a Gamelin.
A
F-22.
They have one Gamelin.
Well, they only ever get like one or two of anything.
Yeah, but that's a newer one, right?
Gamelin VF-22 is really old.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the Diamond Force ones or whatever.
Well, it's still Diamond Force.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, that one came out how long ago?
That's what I just said, 5 years ago. Okay. Like
they still had it.
They still had it.
Well, okay, so...
Like,
not for much longer.
Yamato Valkyries really are not as popular as everyone thinks.
Yeah. Thanks, Renato. Now somebody's going to go out and buy it instead of my blanket warning. No. So,
yeah, but they're not marked up.
Okay, so
like, Yamashii Camera doesn't screw people.
No, I know that.
Unlike
but,
someone in here
but
in Akihabara.
Prior to that, there was always the same Kakizaki Valks. At least
two
or three or some Yodobashi cameras, like eight. Usually the Maximiria VF-22s.
Yep.
Those are always there.
Yeah.
They're all gone. All of those have been like picked up. Mandarake, they get stuff in, but it goes out really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have to go there. Your timing has to be lucky.
Your timing has to be lucky. You have to go there regularly. And anything like the, what is it, YF-4? Is it YF4?
Isn't it YF4?
VF4? What's the last one that came out?
VF4G.
The VF4G.
Yeah, it's in the fridge, apparently.
If you find it used, it's about Goman. So over $500 here.
Wow.
But on stupid sites like Amazon, people are saying they're selling them for over a grand.
Yeah.
Or trying to sell them for over a grand, but I doubt if anybody's that stupid to buy it.
So, what's the difference? If people are stupid enough to buy it at 500, then...
No, 500 is a regular price, so overseas price should be about 600 or 700.
No,
but
500 is
still double
twice
the price.
The retail price.
Yeah, but nobody should be paying double for it yet.
That's what my point is.
Yeah, so, I mean, you want to pay... If it's selling in Tokyo for about $500, overseas should be paying 600 or 700 for it.
So you're saying if it's worth double already in the Japan market, why is it worth four times that outside Japan?
Yeah, so that just doesn't make sense. But I don't really think people are buying it.
It doesn't make sense either way for me.
So
you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Paying. Well, I guess it's worth whatever it's worth to you.
I guess so. I mean, if you didn't order it, you didn't pre-order it, you didn't get it, then you're screwed. But who knows?
Yeah, I'm screwed.
You're screwed.
Hell, I didn't know that the company was going to go bust.
Well, nobody
after.
Knew that, but apparently, so going on, just looking deep into information that's out there, because I haven't gone to Arcadia to talk to them yet. I'll try to do that after Shizuoka, because then they'll actually have official announcements, and maybe they'll be able to talk more about stuff, opposed to going before their biggest show.
Yeah, it would be a waste of time, really.
Yeah, so...
They're not allowed to...
Yeah, so between Shizuoka and Wonderfest probably be a good time to go. So there's no official news out. We know the Hasegawa and Arcadia project is a non-transformable kit with the Tengen artwork, the pinstriping or race striping you want to call it. Looks kind of like a IndyCar racing paint scheme kind of thing.
It looks like an Itasha.
No, because it doesn't have characters.
There's no characters on it, so this can't be Itasha. It's more of like racing stripes, pinstripes.
Mm.
So apparently I just saw today that the actual mock-up photos are up. what it's supposed to look like as a kit. You know, some people like it, some people don't like it. You know,
which people like it?
I'm not paying that close attention to which users are hating on it or...
I thought everyone was unanimously hating on it.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to buy it for support, and that's cool. That's, you know, Arcadia is going to need that initial push, so if you can buy it, buy it. If you don't like it, then...
Yeah, but the photographs have gone up only of the Hasegawa, right?
Only the Hasegawa, and that was in the last few hours, I guess.
Okay.
So if you don't like it, buy one of their dolls.
Yes.
The penny and stocking ones are doing.
Yeah, so... But, also in the last... About a week and a half ago, another piece of work went up. What me and Gwen thought was just the Hasegawa Arcadia thing.
The collaboration.
But it was just the Arcadia version. It was a magazine scan. And from what I've been told, that is a transformable 160 scale toy with a slightly different paint job or paint design, because since it's transformable, when it goes into different modes, the lines have to readjust to line up. So it does have a slightly different paint scheme than the Hasegawa version. Also,
are they using the same mold?
I don't know. I don't know those details. I just know that, or I've been told, not
same
that I know.
Same mold as the Yamato.
The VF version right. 2 160, yeah. Right?
Right.
Don't know. Didn't hear those details, and I don't think that person would know that those details.
Okay.
It's just transformable, 160 scale, and they are working on packaging design.
Okay. And well, from the blueprint, like from the designs that they showed in the magazine article, that looks every bit like a 160 Yamato to me.
At As first, everyone was pointing out an excruciating length on the board.
Yeah.
For some reason.
When that post first went up, I originally thought it was just the collaboration project. So I just was like, oh, it's just another thread going off the rails. And then I went and looked back and I was like, no, they're right. It's not the same one. I think you pointed out the little thing on the flap.
Yeah. There's no need for it otherwise.
Yeah. And that is
exactly what the 160 looks like.
So, and it turns out that is what it is. So, what will they do after that? A lot of people are thinking that.
USS?
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are thinking that.
I am here to confirm the rumor that their next project, it will probably not be a SAP or anything that would go with a SAP. But
I know who the SAPs are. Oh, wait.
So we already knew before this that Arcadia already had a Macross license, and they're already working on Macross product. We kind of guess that they'll be continuing with Yamato's toy lines. We don't know what they're going to do with it, but it's probably obviously they were able to maintain what they had from the previous company.
Right.
Now, I don't really think 148s are coming out anytime soon.
You can say it. It's
okay. I wasn't sure if I could say it or not.
Say what?
The Chinese factory?
Yeah, because Renato was telling me before that the reason Yamato could make the detailed toys that they did was because they found one really, really good factory, right?
Yeah. They were always upgrading their factories, by which I mean going to different factories, which were better and better. And, you know, that was a big part of the reason why their products kept getting more and more expensive. Not just that their engineering was getting more complex. It was that they were finding these higher quality factories to get their products built in.
All right.
Where did you want to take that?
Wondering if Arcadia is working with the same factories.
I would say either way. I wouldn't see why not.
Right.
I would say they're going to do the same game plan. The only difference is it's they're paying more money to get better factories, but the in China, people are getting higher pay now, so
they can demand more.
Yeah, they're demanding more, so that's another reason why the price goes up. You know, people keep forgetting that the pay in China has been going up.
Well, this is always the problem.
Yeah,
right. This is always the problem. I remember when I was a child and everything was made in Japan, until that got too expensive, and then everything was made in Taiwan. Until that got too expensive, and then everything was made in China.
Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe we'll see Arcadia's first product made in the Philippines. Who knows? But I doubt it. I'm sure everything's probably the same as before, just a different company.
Sorry.
Now, did you guys hear some outrageous thing about Nichon? Like, somebody...
No.
...put up... somebody put on the boards that... They heard a rumor on Nichon that Toynami has secured... Yamato's molds for their Valkyries.
Yeah. Wow. Which ignited the forums, and there were like two or three more pages of discussion after Save's confirmation that, you know, Arcadia were in fact going to continue the 160 line. It wasn't really a confirmation, but at least they were going to, you know, bring out this thing.
Well, gee, I hope you're right, so.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the thing is that Save did not put a link.
Oh, but
because
right.
They had confirmation that something came from Nee Channel. From 2chan.
Right, that's obviously, you know, more reliable source than...
In case you don't know...
It is a source.
In case you don't know Nee-chan, this is the original Japanese version of 4chan.
I'm surprised Japanese people know about 2chan.
But there's no originality to 4chan.
Yeah, they're Nee-chan wannabes, and Nee-chan is already a hive of scum and villainy.
Yes.
So, anyways...
It's the slum of the internet.
It is.
Well, I can't imagine that if you go to Arcadia's Facebook page, you can see their timeline, and on their timeline, the company was established on October 31st, 2012, and
Halloween.
Yeah. So there was no, I think it. So if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure it was the 31st of October.
This wasn't April 1st.
I wonder if it was November. Anyways, it was at least a few months before. They never announced it anyways. It was just, we'd go to Wonderfest.
Yeah.
The Yamato name was now Arcadia. So unless somehow Toynami knew months ahead before Bandai, CM's Corporations, mm-hmm. Future, and every other Japanese toy company that is directly across the street from the Yamato building, I really don't think that Toynami
swooped in
just
there
swooped in
and grabbed it all up,
yeah,
made off like a thief in the night.
You know, because
so that's why there was nothing in the Yamato office when we went and looked. Toynami had looted it.
George Stone.
So we're gonna call this Save's, you know, Save's it's Toy Corner.
Save us.
Save's Arcadia or something, and we're just gonna have to keep providing updates. So speaking of licenses, Max Factory finally got something for a...
Oh, we talked about that last time.
Yeah, but now we got more details.
Cheryl's ass.
Oh, yes. And not only do we have, like, this flyer that Gwyn's holding, but also when we went to see the movies, they showed on the big screen...
Cheryl's ass.
Cheryl's ass.
Now, just to backtrack, we're talking about the 1-7 scale Cheryl's figure... Ass. of the Black Bunny / White Bunny scene surrounded by gears.
And tied up.
And this is, you know, we've got a price, so it's like give or take 2 man before pre-order discounts. So $200 before pre-order discounts. And it's not a bad figure, but it's not worth $200. But my goodness, you know they're trying to pump it when you get commercials in front of movies, when you have a bus painted with, or a bus completely done up with pictures of the figure driving around Akihabara.
Yeah, no, it's more than that. It's like a 20-window bus with LCD screens playing the commercial in each window, blaring the music, and it's got the Itasha stickers all over the bus. And
that's why it's so expensive.
Yeah.
Because you're paying for its advertising campaign.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have any animation that's coming out to kind of support it. It seems, why now?
I'd be happy if I were walking down the street and hearing Universal Bunny.
The reason for
why now is because they couldn't get the license.
Right. Yeah. So it's just seems like they're going to they're putting a lot of money into this, and I'm very curious to see.
I don't know. I think a lot of people will buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I won't, but
non-Macross fans will buy this. Figure collectors will buy this.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to buy it.
It's a very iconic image.
It's an iconic image, and it's a really good figure. And it's got a lot of, like,
detail
and gears and stuff around it. And it's got Cheryl's ass.
That's true.
Right. And as Haruka Chisuka said, her ass is very... What was the word she said? Like
pert,
on
or something?
Yeah, pert. She's like, she's got such a pert ass, and everyone's
pudding,
like,
pudding.
Yeah,
pudding.
And that cracked
peachy,
everyone
peachy
up on the
shop.
Nickel stream. Yeah,
peachy.
So that's coming out, and the fact that it's got a commercial is pretty interesting. I thought. So apart from that, don't you start on that again, Renato. That's been stuck in my head for a while. Apart from that,
you sang the entire song with
two words.
Yes.
Moving on, the final crossover figure from Banpresto has been revealed. Now, the first one, of course, was Cheryl done up as Basara,
which is an awesome figure.
The second one was Milen done up as Open Ranker.
Which is an awesome figure.
The third one, which just came out this week, is Min Mei in the New Orleans outfit.
Which is an awesome figure.
And then the one after that will be Ranker dressed as Do You Remember Love Min Mei?
Which is an okay figure.
You haven't seen it yet. but there was only ever going to be four, and then when was it? Last year, there was a poster that appeared with a fifth silhouette. And just went, Cheryl. said Cheryl. And of course, everyone was like, she's got to be dressed as Ishtar.
Thought it was going to be Sharon Apple.
Wait, everyone said that? Everyone. Or one person said that?
Everyone spoke for everyone. Screw you guys. Obviously, it wasn't Ishtar because she had some kind of like football pads or something going. So.
And
she could have been wearing Feff's cape.
Well, as of this,
Cheryl dresses
Feff. That would be good. And so, as of this recording, while the picture hasn't gone live yet, the fifth figure is Cheryl in Alto's goth lolly outfit.
Which I call shenanigans on because that's not a crossover.
It's not. It's a bit of a shame. If anything, if you're going to use that goth lolly outfit, do an Alto figure just for shits and giggles. Don't put Cheryl in it because it just looks normal.
Right.
There's nothing overly unique about it.
Oh, trust me. I accosted somebody at Big West and I said, hey, hey, hey. And I was drunk at the barbecue. I was like, okay, so it's crossover figure. You want it to sell? You put Cheryl as Ishtar. That's gonna sell because it's gonna almost be like Cheryl naked, but dressed as Ishtar, and it will sell. I promise you, it will sell. And like he's looking at me, just looking at me. He's like, yeah. Tell Ben Presto that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
See, I think it should have been Alto dressed as Mulane.
Well, either way, it's a bit of a. Not a downer, but it's just a bit of a ends in a whimper for that series. For such an awesome series, this last one kind of seems like a bit meh.
Gooba dressed as Icoon or something like that.
Oh god, that would have been kind of funny, but it would have been the worst selling one.
Yeah, I mean, unless it was a plushie.
But they're all Crane figures, so they're not that great quality, anyways. So
you're right.
And this Cheryl X Alto made groupie thing. There's way too much detail in a dress for that dress, and so I don't think it's going to come out looking too well. So it'll probably be the worst selling of the whole series.
Well, on the subject of Cheryl figures, there's also an Nendoroid that's now up for pre-order. It's 3,500 yen, and it's typical Nendoroid, but it's Cheryl, and it's got the interchangeable faces. So you can now recreate at least part of the Superdimensional Seminars, Richard. You can do your own. So buy two, heck, buy a dozen.
Too bad we don't have the Ikebukuro exhibit anymore, since they had the entrance to the high school.
Right
there, you can just pose an Android figure in front of that.
And the
animation studio that did the Cheryl for the Superdimensional Seminars had, I think, one of the most interesting names I've ever heard.
Okay.
They were called I Was a Ballerina.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It came up in the credits of every episode. Yeah.
Okay.
That was a total
I never understood that.
Moving on. So also, of course, speaking of Van Presto, the most recent Ichiban Kuji stuff is all out. And it's... You know what? This is the first time for Ichiban Kuji that the A level, the A rank prizes, no one really wants, but everyone wants the lower prizes that normally fill toy shops like a week or so after they do them. Because the rank A award is just, it's a super deformed, like a cute Ranker and Cheryl sitting on a reaction warhead.
Okay.
Kind of Doctor Strangelove style. And that's it. And there's two color schemes. And they're already both down to about 3,500 yen secondhand.
So we described the Ichiban Kuji thing before, but right. I think it might be a good idea to go through it again. You go to a convenience store, you pay 800 yen and pull like a number out of a hat and see which prize you win.
And you're much more likely to get these rank G or H, which are normally pens or stickers or posters.
And the lower level stuff is worth much less than 800 yen, and the high level stuff is worth much more
And usually, for example, some of the more well renowned stuff from the Ichiban Kuji lineup when it comes to Macross is the Kimono Cheryl, which can go for ludicrous amounts of money. But like I said, the one this time is just the two of them on a warhead. It's kind of nothing, and yet for the lower ranked prizes, you have a, some really cool designed Macross logo coasters. There are stickers of all the characters, including like Ishtar and Sybil and all these other characters.
Sybil, really?
There's a sticker of her, yeah. There's the Zero Girls done up in cowboy outfits. The,
wow.
There's all these cute little images. There's the actual B prize. There's four of them. Is a FB7 kind of crossover. There's the Chibi Basara, Chibi Milan, Chibi Ranka, Chibi Cheryl, and they all go together.
Is that the picture I was looking at before with Ray and Bihida in the, and the drum kit?
No, that was a different
those
thing.
Are the Hobby Stock straps.
Which we'll get to in a second. But yeah, so this time around, I'm trying to get all these little stickers and some of the smaller figures. Like, you know, you can get like Sharon Apple and stuff. There's all these little Min Mays. All the low ranking stuff is so much more interesting. But yeah. But that's all out, so there's quite a bit of stuff in shops at the moment going for secondhand. But yeah, you mentioned so these straps, Adrian.
Yeah, Hobby Stock releasing the third series of the Macross. I don't know if they're called crossover or not, but just the Macross phone straps here in Japan. And they just put up the line art for most of the figures.
Right.
And they're having a contest for this month where you can vote on which is going to be the last strap or something like that.
Right. They said they've announced all of them except one, and it's up to the fans to vote for it.
And they've got, okay, I can't say everyone because Renato will pull some obscure character out of somewhere.
No. You were explaining it to me that yeah. Mosh is on the list. And so
Mosh is on the list. Ingus is on the list.
Is Rex on the list?
I actually only checked Macross 2. But I did. But they've got every Macross thing, except for probably games or something.
I want the sniper from that episode of Macross 7 with the mustache.
See, I want the Macross generation characters.
Well, I'll log in and I'll get the list.
VFX 2, Fokker.
Milky Dolls, man.
Yeah,
Milky
that's Dolls. What I was just thinking. I want a Milky Dolls phone strap. That would be awesome. But yeah, because Ishtar is on the list again, but we already had Ishtar. But that was short hair Ishtar, so that's got to be long hair Ishtar. Unless they go and screw that up and it's like Ishtar in that really ugly day dress thing, like yellow.
Multicolored.
Yeah.
Long hair Ishtar is much better. I don't care that it's a Roman holiday reference.
Yeah. We need long hair Ishtar, tight clothing, and those god awful boots. That's what we need. So yeah, they're working on the third series of the phone straps, and apparently they're selling fairly well.
In an hexagram.
Yeah, and I just want to I just want to point out why we're making a point
Dennis
of this.
Dennis,
you've got a point.
Drinking during the day.
Let me
like you us.
Now, normally I don't give a damn about phone straps, but these, and I still don't like the fact that they are phone straps, but they are this awesome super deformed.
No phones these days have holes.
Exactly, smartphones don't have those, but they have this awesome super deformed like art, and they do them of all the Macross characters, and I think they're really well done.
Yeah,
and I actually wish they'd take these designs and make figures or Nendoroids or something out of them. Not these pieces of rubber art.
Well, you've got the actual art right there, so with a little bit of Photoshop skills, you can make your own.
All right. Well, I'll leave that up to you, Renato, and get back to us next cast and let us know how you go with that.
Well, I've got nothing to do. I'll do it.
So, yeah, phone straps. Exciting times.
But you know what?
Well,
I'm going to check, but you would think they would have made a Gooboba strap. Just that'd be cool. Like a,
I'd get that.
Yeah,
I'd get that too, maybe.
But they ain't gonna.
Well, there's a strap. No, there's a Gooboba strap out for the Ichiban Kuji, isn't there?
Yeah, but I mean, like these rubber
there
ones.
Is?
These are like rubber ones, are that big. Well, do you have your Ishtar one running around?
Yeah, my bag should be around the corner right there.
I think it's got.
Perfect from the podcast.
Closer to the couch. My like my actually, yeah, that one.
Okay. Hold it up to the mic.
Oh, was it?
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. Nice.
No, but like they're nice art, but like I almost want to cut the hole in the top off just so you can have that stick it on a window or something. I don't know. It seems a waste of really nice little art.
Yeah.
But anyways, thank you everyone listening kind for watching. Kind of like all of
Macross too. Waste of good art.
All right, moving on.
That's easy.
So, Renato, I think we need to mention the fact that what everyone has been waiting for like 6 months, has finally happened. And you are so excited. And that's the fact that FB7 is out on Blu-ray.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Can I say one thing, actually?
Well,
despite all the things I've said before, FB7 is not that bad.
Oh!
What?
Yeah.
There's no excuse for this movie. I was laughing halfway through it. Yeah. I mean, the idea, like, out loud, man. I just don't understand what the thought process was behind this. I just don't get it. I mean, all of the voice actors from Macross 7 are alive, except for maybe Kip Pelnich. Was it really that hard? You could also say that it set a new low standard.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I can put it on in the background.
Adrian, you got trampoline? Because I think someone wants to do a backflip.
Backflip.
So keep talking.
Flip-flopping like there's no tomorrow.
So what changed your mind here?
No one thing, really. It's just, kind of like Amino Tetsuro actually said, you know, it's not a movie.
It's a rock show!
Well, it's not even a... Well, it can be a rock show. Like, I have lots of rock concert DVDs. I have, like, The Who and Led Zeppelin and Queen and stuff. So I can just put one of those on and just do stuff. Right. Leave it on in the background.
Okay.
And this movie is actually a lot like that.
You heard and it here first. FB7, background noise.
Well, yeah. Really. I mean, no one is watching it for the story. Okay. We know
what
this,
story?
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Bee!
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 And
just imagine two of those protocol, those Devil and Birds
I wish,
making out.
I wish.
Anyway, yeah.
I wish that they had actually had the extra budget options within the menu to play it without the frontier parts, because that would make it even better.
That's a very Renato line.
Yeah, just cut out everything. You've cut out so much that there's no point in even having new footage at all.
This guy would probably actually want it on VHS. So.
I made a DVD out of the Blu-ray.
Wait, really?
I did, yeah. So,
why?
I'm only one step away.
Why?
Well, because I only have a PS3 to view my Blu-ray on.
Okay.
And that doesn't have an output for 5.1. I have to get a completely separate 5.1 setup. However, my DVD player has inbuilt 5.1 modulator thing. You just have to plug in a bunch of speakers to it. So I've got that set up all ready to go. So I usually watch 5.1 movies on DVD using my DVD player.
So you need an amp, is what you're telling us.
No,
you need everything through.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
An amp and extra speakers and everything. And I don't want to invest in a whole thing. I just use the setup that I already have. But in order to do that, I have to make another copy on DVD. And just use the 5.1 track.
So in other words, Renato...
I'm a bootlegger. Yeah, you, yeah. Oi.
You don't normally have background noise, but when you do, it's in 5.1.
I'm surrounded by FB7.
It's not background noise, it's surround noise.
I haven't even bought it. I rented it from Staya, so I didn't even get
the
extras, which are like apparently the main
thing. Yeah, that's the main reason I bought it.
Same here. Yeah.
And so let's talk about the extras then. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the main thing I wanted was the digest, as they called it, footage from the Firebomber 2012 concert. Now, when they say digest, let me translate that. Four songs.
Yeah.
That's all you get. Four songs. Having said that,
you get rehearsal footage and background.
You get some talks and stuff, but they had the two songs I really wanted, which were Virgin Story and the Nyan Nyan Fire Explosion something.
Medley.
Yeah, that's the one. Because that had the guitar version instead of the electronic version, which is on the CD. Main's not in it. But we'll get that in the crossover live.
If you listen to Virgin Story, some of the guitar licks that are on the original track are replaced by a synth. So it's Ponchan on the keyboard.
Ah, that's Ponchan for you.
But the reason for that is because there's no two main guitarists that are on stage, right?
Right.
There's several guitars going off at the same time on that song, so there's nothing you can do about that.
But I thought both of them were fairly good renditions.
You could hire another guitarist.
No, they couldn't.
Yeah.
Well, you know, too many guitarists on stage and Chia tends to stop the concert mid-performance.
See, I saw the Cocteau Twins in concert and they had like six or seven guitarists.
Yeah, well, the Rolling Stones do as well, I forgot to. Mm-hmm.
I know you'll disagree with me here, Renato, but seeing Firebomber perform in high definition kind of makes me wish we had a Blu-ray Firebomber concert, because I thought Fukuyama was looking pretty damn cool in high definition.
I thought he was looking the opposite of cool, because high definition means you can spot every bead sweat on his face.
If it's background noise, who's watching?
That's true. The movie is background noise. The concert I actually concentrate and watch.
Right. So what were the other two songs I had on there? Do you remember?
No. But I'm sure they were good.
And they aren't listed. We've got to say that. They aren't actually, like, you pick.
Right. You can only play the whole thing.
Well, no, there are chapter stops. You can skip to each song, but there's no separate listing. You don't know what you're getting. You just go to the digest and it comes.
Yeah.
But yeah, best version so far.
Dynamite's on there, isn't it?
It was Dynamite and was it? Well, let's watch it after this.
Yes.
Because we just watched Fleet of the Strongest Women before recording, and
we did that,
and totally realized that Misato was the voice of Chloe, which I hadn't noticed before.
And Doi Mikai is the narrator.
Yes. Yeah. It's an all-star cast.
So other extras. They have new film clips for these two songs, for Virgin Story and...
Yes, and...
This is where things get interesting.
One of them is very good.
Well, I don't know if good would be. I mean, this is like 19. This is circa 1997 style CG as far as camera angles. The Unexplored Hangar.
Yeah, that's the one I don't like.
Oh, the one I like. The other one.
I like Virgin Story. It's a really, really good. You know, they just did some CG editing.
Talk about that first, then.
So there's two clips. One of them is Virgin Story. The other one is Nyan Nyan Totsugeki Love Heart Explosion Dynamite Forever G.I. Joe.
Remember.
Plus Alpha. All right. Good.
So the song... the song itself doesn't really appear in the movie, right?
It's a credit song.
It doesn't appear in full in the credits. It's just the first verse and the chorus, and then it ends. So you don't actually enjoy the full blast of the song. This one, it is an actual music video, and I believe it's what maybe, Richard, you were hoping FB7 was going to be.
Probably.
It's like... Flashback 2012, you know how they edited some scenes together from all the different shows.
And then added digital effects, or video effects back in those days.
Wonderful footage of balloons and stuff.
World War II, if it doesn't
have a clown with handcuffs on a vinyl record, I'm not interested.
Or not even like the Emperor's soldiers going to war.
But that was like heavy-handed. It's really funky. They've gotten like put a whole bunch of effects over the top of footage, and it's a good clip.
Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about Vision.
Vision Story. Right. And they were really well done, I thought, considering you can tell it was a very cheap budget, right?
Right.
It was all digitally put together. Sometimes song lyrics would flash up on screen.
Right.
It would be like animated cheapo triangles and everything.
It's very hyperdelic.
There would be CG guitars flying in and out of the screen. And there's a really cool, but again, kind of cheap-looking scene where you zoom out of Macro 7 and you see all these Valkyries and like robots and Protodevil and all these characters just zooming out into the distance.
Right.
And then you see there's a million of them. And then you zoom back in again in a flash.
It's very hyperactive. It's very similar, although this was done on a small scale and smaller budget. When they held the second Gundam Soul G concert, when they had the artists doing the Gundam openings, they would have footage to the Gundams to the relevant series to the song, done with all these hypercolor like disco effects and stuff, and cameos flying around the screen.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the sort of thing that Satellite does with stock footage. You know how the first version of the Macro Frontier opening is your typical anime opening? You know, you show the characters and then you have
The second
opening is just stock footage, mostly, except for the mirror, looking into the mirror thing.
Right.
But with lots of digital effects, like some texture mapping over some other CG.
So like Nyan Clip.
Yeah, a bit like Nyan Clip. So there's no new footage at all.
In that clip.
In this Virgin Story clip.
Right. But they manipulate the footage.
But they really manipulate it very well, and they time it to the music.
The backgrounds are different. They change the background. So, like,
and they time it to the music quite well, I thought.
So if you had...
when it says, you've got the huge letters.
Yeah.
And inside the letters, it's like an embossed font or something. So you can see that the Macro 7 footage is moving around.
There's a lot of TV footage in there of like Cheryl singing.
You're thinking of the wrong one.
No, that's
the other one.
That's the other one? All right.
Yeah. Which I might as well get to now. Richard, you haven't seen these.
No, I haven't seen these at all.
We'll throw them on when we're done here. But
cool.
Yeah, they're very good.
Better
than the movie.
Okay.
The thing about the second one is that...
Most things would be better than the movie.
Yeah.
It's got some very bad CG, but you see an unexplored hangar and a pilot who never removes his helmet, but I think is obviously Ozma, because he's got the new Skull Squadron, the SMS.
Well, it's Ozma's flight suit.
Yeah, flight suit. And in this unexplored hangar, what is in there?
Well, the hangar, before you even go inside the unexplored hangar, is a typical SMS hangar, right? Like the design of the door and everything.
Yeah.
I think know what he's going to find in there.
Someone has graffitied a 7
on the door.
On the door.
Because no one goes in there. The 7 keeps them away, right?
Lucky number 7 is
for the Devil War of Vampires, wouldn't it?
And of course, he finds an never before discovered Fire Valk in there. And the thing is, this hangar is on the frontier.
So, Renato,
this is
what you were talking about, that this is the one based on the toy.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. Okay. But the thing is, it's like an unexplored hangar on a ship. Like, if this was an unexplored hangar on the planet Eden or something, okay. But I'm like, all right, so he finds this thing.
If it were even an unexplored hangar on board the original SDF-1 Macross, that would be okay.
Well, even if it was an unexplored hangar, and how many times can we say unexplored hangar? On the Macross 7 fleet.
Title of the
It would make sense.
Yes.
Okay, done. But so he finds this Valk, and I do like what they've done with some of the footage in there, because as he's watching, looking at this Valkyrie, the song's playing, and they overlay, as Adrian was saying, footage of Cheryl, like it's coming up on a monitor in the hangar, and then it's almost like part of it's a flashback. So when Firebomb is singing their part of that song, they work in both Macro 7 and Dynamite 7 opening footage.
Yeah.
So it kind of works all right. But
some scenes were done well, some scenes were not done well. I don't think it meshed very well.
Well, the thing that gets to me is that then this pilot, Ozma,
flies the goddamn Fire Valk.
Yeah. What?
How does this work? How does he... Only Bossa can fly the Fire Valk.
Oh, you mean because of the guitar...
So Ozma must be a guitarist. This is going to be canon now.
Yes.
Either that or... I don't know how he flew
the... Well, he's obviously flying a toy.
All right, here we go. Look, just do it. Do it. Go on, say it.
The CG model is the 160 VF-19 Yamato toy. What? What is the problem?
Adrian
is exploding right now. He's spontaneously combusting.
No, Dynamite explosion.
I'm just waiting for you to list your resources.
Give us a quote.
Where's the link? Yeah.
Where's the link?
I've already put the photographs on so you on,
are,
on robots.
You are your own source.
On robots.
I am my own source. No, we got the... the problem is that the only way I can prove this to you is to bring the actual toy here. And as you explained to me, those toys are worth like 10 times what the original price was now, right?
That, no, not for that one. Just the 4.
Really?
Yeah, just the 4.
No one wants these. This is the best toy Yamato ever made. Anyway, if you look at this, I have... Look, here, microphone. Please look at these photographs that I'm showing. The hinges... And the seams from the toy are there. The proportions of the toy are exactly the same. This elbow hinge is a die-cast hinge right there. Why would you need to model it like that? Look at this.
I don't know. Perhaps
look at the
you're
way
right.
that the legs are moving.
This
down.
Sounds convincing to me. Adrian, well, why do you disagree?
I don't disagree.
You can see the tabs! You can see the tabs where the arms slot together.
Yeah, it's just you're validating everybody else's lame brain ideas by like proclaiming yours without having any facts, and now
it's
gonna be like,
it's right here.
Like,
the
yes.
problem is that you guys don't have the toy. I have 3 different versions of the same model.
Okay,
well,
there's two possibilities. There's two possibilities.
Sell you one, you mean?
Possibility is your theory, which is
it's a theory.
They contacted somebody.
Oh, okay, so
and
I don't know.
They got
about
the
that.
Data files.
Yeah. Okay.
And they took the CAD data and exported it to the 3D animation software program, dumbed down
right,
the transformation,
right, right. Yeah, yeah.
and made it work.
It's not dumbed down, by the way.
Or,
this is the transformation of the toy.
Or the even probably the quicker way in
yeah.
the 3D industry is that a competent modeler would just go buy the toy and model it in freehand. By the toy.
Okay, yeah, right. So, me saying these are the CAD files or whatever, that is speculation.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make that clear. Me saying this is the 160 Yamato toy is me saying...
I would say...
This is the same as what you hold in your hand. It is the
that,
toy.
From what you're showing me and from what I've seen of the toy, because we played with it before... Yeah, I would think that they probably bought the toy and then had a modeler just
okay.
quickly like go, okay, yeah, 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 and it's pretty much the basic shape.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Either way, it looked obviously like a toy
the
flying around.
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel
exactly.
about that.
Exactly. The fingers were very chunky. Like,
I don't know.
I noticed that when he opened his hands, I'm like, wow, that's either really cheap CG or that is a model
of
a toy.
You know, the back of the hand of the Yamato is... unique because it is inaccurate.
You're unique.
Remember,
you're unique in that you notice this.
No, I'm not. But you guys never go on the toy forum. God damn you. People were debating before that toy came out. Are they going to get the knuckles right? Because the knuckles are the only parts that are red on the Fire Valkyrie.
Because Bossa punches so many things. They're so important.
Screw you. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that this is good and bad. It's bad. I'll start with the bad. It's bad because it looks cheap, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Like the chunky fists or whatever. But it's good because it's a testament of just how good that toy is.
Yeah,
it's canon now. You know,
yeah,
it's like...
Toy is
that toy is anime
toy.
Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
They're like, we can make a CG thing and put it in the anime and it works.
Yeah.
And it does work. To a certain extent, if you change the hands and stuff like that, a couple of details. So, yeah.
The only thing I wish they would have put more time in...
Screw you!
The...
What?
Well, he says it holds him over.
And Renato's speaking to Gwyn, by the way, not Adrian.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's not. Anyway, what,
I don't know. Well, right, as we're explaining to you, the character walking to the Valk, he's a 3D character too. It's not a 2D animation.
Yeah.
And that animation needs some improvement.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty.
But you see, Yamato never made any articulated figures of Ozma. If they had, then it would have been awesome.
Well, Arcadia's going to make the Hikaru doll. So,
yeah.
Because they sell like what?
So and then you know he gets into the Valk, goes up onto the deck, flies it around to the music,
and flies it in the same way that Roy Fokker flew his VF0S in Macross Zero. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the same animation. And, yeah, yeah.
It's the same camera angles. It's the same movements. It's the same path.
Yeah.
So that was really done quite cheaply.
So now we've talked for 15 minutes about a 3-minute video clip.
good. That's the way it should
be. I was impressed they actually went to that much trouble. When they said...
That's true. Yeah.
When they said, you know, new video clips for the promotional clips...
they didn't go to that much trouble for the actual movie!
Exactly. When they said new video clips for the songs, I was like, well, they're going to take... They're going to take the clip film...
Yeah, that's Tetsuro Amino laughing at us.
They're going to take the clip film and use clips from the clip film to do a film clip.
Yeah, yeah.
But they actually put some effort into it, which I kind of liked. So what else did we... apart from that... There's just the trailers.
There's Cheryl Gnome's big wave TV, no, a radio.
The radio drama, which was and still is available streaming online.
I got a question. How much did this DVD cost or Blu-ray?
It cost a lot.
How much?
Like 8,000 or something.
8,000?
I don't know. You have it here, right?
I wouldn't 6, pay that much for it. I
paid
6,000
because that was probably just the Amazon disc
pre-order.
Yeah.
Right, I think it was like 5,000, 7,000 or 6,000 with pre-order discounts. Really? Something like that.
Where did you get it from? Damn you. Like,
anyway,
Gwyn's secretive.
I obtained a copy.
Yes.
But yeah, so...
Right off the back of a truck,
that's
off the back of a fire.
So the Cheryl radio drama was released twice a week. I think it was... There's 10 episodes in the lead up to FB7. And yeah, I think I've mentioned it before in the cast. It's basically this thing where she...
No, you haven't.
Haven't I?
No.
She takes over the weather channel, the weather report, and gradually talks less and less about weather, and he's trying more and more to find out about Firebomber and what happened to them. And you know, you get Ozma ringing in incognito, trying to be secretive, and it's just fun. There's a couple of cool gags in there, but I didn't actually think they'd actually go and put it. The point of
it felt like padding.
Really. Yeah, because who's gonna sit there with nothing on the screen? Well, you get like a static image on the screen.
One image.
One
static
image.
You can't navigate through it. You can't fast forward. You can't rewind. You can't stop.
It's one big file. It's not the 10 episodes.
The 10 episodes are in different files, but you can't. You can play one, but then you can't stop it.
Right. They're about pause it. 5 minutes.
I think they needed to put everything they could onto this Blu-ray in order to make it worth it. Yeah.
Right. And this is still on a different disc to the actual movie. Right.
Yes.
It's two discs. But hey, at least they went.
I get it. This is a Blu-ray we're talking about.
At least they went to the effort of giving us two Blu-rays. Because you remember, in some, not necessarily Macross, but in some past anime releases, they'd give you the actual theatrical feature on Blu-ray, and the extras disc would be a DVD.
Oh yeah.
At least they didn't do that. But
that's true.
So and
yeah, because those music videos look really good in high definition.
They
well,
do.
Okay, some of them. Do.
They
well,
do.
One of them does. Okay, well, parts of. Oh fuck.
So FB7 So FB7 is out, and obviously like around the same time Evangelion Q came out on Blu-ray, so I'm sure they're causing the same amount of controversy among the community.
I'm hating the Western Evangelion fandom right now. Yeah. I just want to say
but,
that.
But anyways.
Yeah. If you think the new Eva movie sucks, watch FB7.
Yes.
Alright.
All right.
Oh, and hey, Love Live Alive is coming out soon.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, on high definition DVD
in a two disc set
with that movie that came out after Love Live Alive.
No, that one that is a timeless anime classic. Wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
yes, it is timeless because I forgot about it.
The timeless.
But I don't know. It's timeless.
Before we take a quick break and talk, then come back to talk about Macross Plus. I think, guys, we've got to point out that the dates for Macross Worldcon for 2013,
which
come out.
None of us will be going to,
we
except
won't be,
maybe Adrian.
But hopefully, some of our listeners will be in the area, and
I've got to say, I'm impressed they're doing one this year because, you know, 30th anniversary kind of being over, and I know last year was a big deal, and they go, well, the people to come, I thought they might not be doing one this year.
They do them almost every year.
I like how, like, every cast were like, yeah, we're coming to a close, it's ending. Oh, there's the museum coming. Now there's something to do. Like,
which I've thought about this before. Like, Gwyn always says, well, it's winding down.
It's winding down. We got to go to this now. It's like, just can you stop saying that until it's over?
Well, see, the point is, it's winding down. It's not over, but it's winding down. So,
it's been winding down since
that's why it's
Wings
down.
Of Farewell ended.
It has. So, Macross Worldcon, it's Saturday, October 5th in California in some place in Gaikoku Land.
What? It's in Torrance.
Torrance.
In case you don't live in Southern California, Torrance is the big Japanese area.
Oh, okay.
So it's the Torrance Cultural Arts Center and the Ken Miller Auditorium.
Well, that's good then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So, Saturday, October 5th, 2013. Everyone, mark your calendars. Now, while we're on the topic of events, I almost forgot to mention this. Thank you for reminding me, Adrian. Just yesterday, the Macross... Macross the Museum was announced. And this has not been picked up by many media outlets as of yet, but Macross the Museum is going to be held in Takarazuka. Now, the mystery of Takarazuka is something that was discussed in the forums because there is a giant Valkyrie sticker at the UDX building, which we've mentioned before, and it's holding a sign, and that sign has changed from Kyoto to Takarazuka.
Last time we tried to get a picture of ourselves in front of the sticker, but there were too many people. Groupies waiting for us.
And it used to say Tsuyobashi.
Tsuyobashi, right. And then it changed to Kyoto, right?
Yeah, then the reason it said Tsuyobashi is I'm backtracking now. I think it's because that was where the Macross... The music culture and
because that was at Tokyo Dome.
So every time the name on this sign that the Valk is carrying changes. Is a hint to what's coming next, but it always changes like weeks before it's announced what's coming. Yeah. So there's also always some debate.
So it's to create buzz, right?
But the problem with this one was that Takarazuka is not just the name of a place; it's also the name of the all-female theatrical troupe. So I think a bunch of us were thinking that...
Another musical.
That there was another musical coming.
The first one did so well.
Well, yeah.
More bicycle helmets. but so it turns out...
Damn you! That was good!
They're talking about Takarazuka, the town, which is in Hyogo Prefecture, which is...
By the way, the...
Ages away.
The musical review itself is based in Takarazuka. That's why it's called Takarazuka.
Okay.
For any other reason.
But either way, Hyogo Prefecture, being held at the Tezuka Manga Museum. Why is it being held there? Well, there's actually a reason behind this.
Yeah.
Well,
does this have anything to do with Astro Boy and Black Jack showing up in Wings of Farewell?
Actually, it may.
Yeah, it may. Who knows?
Actually,
I never made that connection. That's a good... Because we always talked about, like, why would they have them in there? But,
well, no. According to Kawamori, it's that he wanted to link the history of Japanimation, and yes, he used that word, to... to Wings
so
of Farewell.
So incorrect.
Yeah.
Bullshit! Anyway, moving on.
Those were all licensed things. I mean, obviously they got them... it was supposed to be a collaborative thing with Tezuka.
And Tezuka also makes Macross... certain merchandise.
Yeah. Remember that Tezuka, there was a lot of Tezuka exhibits here, even here in Akihabara as well, in which Kawamori was involved. Like, Kawamori made a transforming version of Ambassador Magma. Mikimoto made some designs of Ribbon no Kushi. How do you say that in Japanese? Princess Knight, right?
Princess Knight.
So, that wasn't Japanese, that was English. So they've had not a long collaboration, but they've had some collaborations in the past. So I think this is probably just taking it one step further.
Yeah.
And I think I wrote on the boards as well that a while back, actually several years ago, while the Force movie was coming out, see what I did there?
I'm ignoring it.
Yeah, we all seen FP7.
That's
yeah.
part of the... Oh, no, don't kick! as part of... You see, I don't...
Shut down. You just shut him down with that.
All right, you know what? It's on.
I'm going to make you some pineapple salad right
it's
now.
On.
Man.
It's on. FP7 is better than The False Songstress.
Oh,
there.
Bullshit.
See wow.
You
oh, my
see you
God.
There, guys.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Next
podcast,
you'll have someone else. No. In the Kyoto station, they were advertising The False Songstress when it came out. Within the Tezuka Osamu, it's not a museum, but there's a Tezuka Osamu World, kind of like a shop and small exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold Valkyries there as well. So they've always been promoting Macross related stuff, just not as big as they're doing with the Macross. Was it Macross the exhibit?
Macross
the museum. Yeah.
So.
And I've been to that Tezuka Osamu Manga Museum. It's actually very nice.
Right, and this
you can
is
make
going
your own
to be
anime
this is
going to
be something that's held in the museum, and so it's nowhere. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as big as, you know, some of the exhibits
yeah,
we had last
the
year.
The Genga Ten, yeah, no, it's probably not.
But when the news came up for it, I'm looking at it and they're like, we're going to have them in May photo album. And it's like, well, been there, done that.
I'd happily do it again.
Fair enough. They're like, you know, we're going to have replicas of a lot of the Macross singers, costumes, and microphones. I'm like, well, okay, that's something. Then they're like, oh, I'm skimming the text, something about a VF-1S. What? A VF-1S large cockpit, life size. Whoa! So they're doing a life size VF-1S cockpit all the way in goddamn Hyogo Prefecture.
Yeah, which.
You can take pictures.
And again, for people who have asked, I doubt you'll be able to actually sit inside
in
it. You'll probably.
But they've
just
said
be
you're
able
allowed
to
take pictures. So,
right.
And the way I don't know. See, they've used simulation or simulator in the way they've described it, but I think they're trying to say it's a mock-up.
Okay.
Not that there's going to be an afterburner. It's not going to be in an afterburner cradle like at the arcade where it moves.
No, I seriously
which
doubt
would,
it.
Would rock.
Well, I mean, it could be something like what they do at Fuji-Q Highland for the...
With the entry plug.
Entry plug. The dummy plug where you sit in it. So it's not the full dummy plug, but you're just basically in the cockpit of it.
Mm.
So it might just be... I doubt they'll have the outer shell, but
right.
Probably, it might be somewhere you can actually sit in and take...
Huh. Well, they make a big point that photos will be allowed. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, why would they not be? Why would this be a point unless there's somehow... Some way people can interact with it?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting kind of thing to do, and it's... A little bit too out of the way for my liking. But apart from the cockpit, they're going to have 30 160 scale Valks lined up in a way that illustrates how a Valkyrie transforms.
Okay.
So there'll be a plain one. There'll be one with the legs down by 10 degrees. And then the next one, they'll be down by 20 degrees and so on. You know, so
yeah, they already did that in Italy.
Yeah.
That'll be
Who
quite
thought
cool
of that?
Look.
That's kind of lame.
Brought to you by Toynami, I guess.
We're here all week, folks. So yeah, now this is going to be starting from June 28th. So it will be
because I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be in Hyogo in Kobe and in
on
Osaka
June 26th.
Before that, the week before that, 2 weeks before that.
So it will be on for 3 or 4 months. So it runs through to October. Plenty of time.
Okay.
It'll be on the weekend that the Macross 30, Crossover 30 is on as well. So, hey, you can go Macross 30, get on a plane, go down the Hyogo. It sounds like something I'd do, doesn't it?
Plane?
Okay. It sounds like something you've done.
Yeah. I'm not planing it or training it. I'm going to do an overnight bus, 3,500 yen one way if you book early enough.
That sounds good.
That's here at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, blows a kidney, goes to the hospital.
Don't
stay.
Yeah.
Well,
this has happened before, by the way. Adrian is not making this up.
It wouldn't be Macross unless there was some drama involved.
Or high medication and some surgery.
Yeah, that's drama. But anyway, so large-scale VF1S cockpit. We won't necessarily be there opening, but we'll be there at some point to take pictures and maybe some movie footage. And we'll put that up. And I say that because we now have a YouTube account for the podcast, and the
yes.
podcast has gone up on iTunes. Now, it's a work in progress. We're having troubles getting the logo to work and the formatting and the tags, and iTunes is not particularly user-friendly, but the idea is to have all the podcasts eventually up, and anytime we reference something we've done or have original footage that we've taken, we'll throw it up on the YouTube channel. So keep an eye out for that. It's going to be an ongoing project. Yeah. And we hope we can contribute more unique original stuff. What was that? What?
It was a joke.
All right.
You said keep an eye out. I said keep an ear out.
So on that note, we're going to take a break.
That was really funny.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break.
Gentle.
Kudos. Kudos to you.
Gentle comedy for the iTunes crowd. Gentle.
And we'll be back momentarily with some Macross Plus.
I hope so.